Grace, mercy, and Advent peace be multiplied unto you from God, who loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And in the name of that Christ child of Bethlehem, who did make his advent. Amen. At this time, you are invited to take those insert sheets, the multicolored sheets that remind you of all of the lights on the Christmas trees and are in tune with this season, so that you can follow along with the reading of our texts, which fit in so well with our Advent theme. That theme which says the child of promise and fulfillment, that theme which Pastor outlined so well for you in last Sunday's sermon. Now, I personally get real excited when I get a chance to preach on the foretellings of Christ from the Old Testament. What a wealth of information about the coming Christ child, who would not only come to Bethlehem, but who would have a ministry and who would suffer, die, and rise again, that you and I might know salvation. And during this Advent season, on Wednesdays, God is going to feature prophecies from the prophet Malachi. He is the one who wrote the last book of the Old Testament. And today we start with this theme. What is it? Look at it carefully. The messengers are promised. There are two messengers predicted, and we could even push and say three if we wanted to. And I invite you to watch as we read along at Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, first of all, where God the Father says, "Look, I am going to send my messenger to prepare a way for me, and the Lord, whom you are looking for, will suddenly come to his temple. Yes, the angel of the covenant, whom you delight in, he will come, says the Lord of armies." And from Mark chapter 1, verse 2, who helps interpret this passage for us, he says, "It is written in the prophet Isaiah and Malachi, 'Look, I am sending my messenger ahead of you to prepare the way for you.'" This is the text that is before us today. Now, what do we wish to accomplish today? We first of all are going to look at this passage and tear it apart and explain it to you. And then, the most important part for you in a sense, the application, what does it still mean for you 2,400 years later? Let's look at our text. The first word, look, that's your old familiar phrase or word, behold, in the King James. Behold, a virgin will conceive. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord. That can be translated, that Hebrew word hineni can be translated, attention, pay attention. Look, look real hard, because I'm going to tell you something very important for your salvation. And so God the Father is speaking. I know it's God the Father because he identifies himself at the end as the Lord of armies. You remember that as Lord Sabaoth. Now remember, Sabaoth is not the word Sabbath. Sabaoth is the Hebrew word which means armies, the heavenly armies of God and the earthly armies as we march as onward Christian soldiers spreading the message of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the Father says, I. And I want to emphasize something here. If I were to ask many of you, what is Christmas all about? Is it about the Father, the Son, or the Holy Spirit? I think the majority would say it's about Jesus being born in Bethlehem. And you are wrong. The festival of Christmas is about the Father who sent his Son. The festival of the Son is Easter, and the festival of the Holy Spirit is Pentecost. So let's not forget to give God the Father the proper honor that he deserves at Christmas. He sent his Son. So look, God the Father says, I am going to send my messenger. Now you should know from past experience, as Christians who have sat in church for years, that messenger is John the Baptizer, the one who comes to introduce God the Son. But in introducing God the Son, he is introducing God the Father, because Jesus is coming to earth to give all glory to his Father, as he said so often during his ministry. And so God the Father says, I'm sending my messenger, I'm sending John the Baptizer to prepare a way, yes, to get hearts ready to receive God the Father, to receive God the Son, to come and be prepared through the gift from the Holy Spirit of repentance, being godly sorry for your sins, but having faith that God knows how to take care of those sins and has did the whole thing. And he's to prepare a way for me, for God the Father. You would expect it to say to prepare a way for Jesus. And that's what Mark does. He turns it, doesn't he? By the power of the Holy Spirit. When somebody says, oh, the New Testament contradicts the Old, don't you believe them. It says that God breathed the scriptures that he gave to the writers of the New Testament, like Mark. He breathed them through the Holy Spirit. He drugged those writers right along that they said exactly what he wanted them to say. Look at that green thing on your sheet that connects the me of the Malachi passage to the you of the Mark passage. Somebody says, wait a minute. How can the messenger come to prepare the way for the Father, and in the other one, he comes to prepare the way for the Son? It's very simple, isn't it? Jesus said, I and my Father are one. They work in tandem. Remember the resurrection of Jesus? 1 Corinthians 15 says, what? That the Father raised Jesus from the dead. In the book of John, Jesus says, I take my life, I lay it down, and I will take it again. I will raise myself. And in Romans chapter 8, the Holy Spirit is credited with raising Jesus from the dead. Which one is right? They are all right. The Trinity works in tandem for you and me to get us to heaven. They work as a unity. It's not like the world today, which is torn apart and everybody's working against one another. God works together to put you and me together. And so it goes on in Malachi chapter 3. And says, and the Lord, and I want you to notice something. The word Lord here is spelled capital L, small O-R-D. That is not your regular word Yahweh. That is your word Adonai. Why? Why does the Bible talk about Jesus here as Adonai? As a word that can be taken just of a human being, as well as of God. It's because Jesus had not yet come in the days of Malachi. Malachi, who is writing over 400 years before Jesus came. And why would you call him Lord in small letters? Because he's going to come as a man. He hasn't won the victory yet over Satan. And so he is not referred to as by his divine name. And remember, Jesus was still on his throne according to his divine nature during his earthly presence. But he came also as a man. Thus on earth he walked around as the God-man so that he could come under the law as man and yet conquer as God, who Satan could not defeat. Oh, there's a lot of theology here. And so God the Father says, and the Lord, that is the Lord Jesus, whom you, and notice how I have that in blue and gold. The code down below tells you, blue, because we are royalty. We are a royal priesthood. And gold, because we will walk on the streets of gold one day because of what Jesus has done for you and me. And so it says, you believers down there, Malachi is saying through God the Father, are looking for. Looking for whom? For Jesus, the coming Messiah. And he will come suddenly. And suddenly in the Bible never means soon. It means when you do not expect him. Herod did not expect him to be born and laid in Bethlehem. And you and I, we do not know when Jesus will return for his second coming. We do not know that time. It will happen unexpectedly. That's what suddenly means. So it says here, and the Lord whom you believers are looking for, will suddenly come to his temple. Now, what does temple mean here? I think probably it means like the time that Mary and Joseph carried Jesus to the temple when he was just a little over 40 days old, and Simeon helped. He came to his temple. But could it also mean he came to the temple of his body? Remember, it says that we are the temples of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives within us. Did he not come with a temple, his body, in which God the Father lived? You have to think about it. Scripture is something to ponder. As Mary did, she pondered all these things that happened at the manger when the shepherds came and the angels sang. And so it goes on to say, yes, who is this Lord who is coming? He is the angel of the covenant. Now you have to remember that when the New Testament uses the word angel, they're using angelos, that's the Greek. The Hebrew is malak. Oh, and that takes us to the name Malachi. Malachi, the first part of his name, Malak, messenger. The I on the end is my. That's your word, your possessive pronoun. So the name Malachi means my messenger. He's the first messenger of the text that God is sending. The second who will come 6 months later and be impregnated in the body of Mary, the virgin, is our Lord Jesus Christ. He is a messenger also. So he is the messenger of the covenant or the angel of the covenant. The one who God sends as a messenger. And what does the book of Hebrews say in the very first verses? Long ago, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken to us through his Son. The Son is a messenger, but he's the messenger of the covenant. No, not the Mosaic covenant. Ten commandments. Do we need more commandments? know this covenant is the covenant that God made with Abraham, that from him would come the descendant, the seed, the one who was going to take away all of our sins. And so this Lord who is coming, he's the messenger of that message, of that covenant that God gave to Abraham long ago and now is ready to begin and keep in another 400 years. Oh, with God, time is so insignificant to you and me. Wow, 400 years before God made that promise? Wow. And then it says, yes, the angel of the covenant whom you delight in. I think you delight in him because you're here today. There are many who do not delight. The majority out there have no use for Jesus Christ. They're missing out. The great gift that God gives to his people, they're missing out on it. They do not delight. They do not have joy. They don't have Christmas joy. Not real Christian joy that is needed. So it says, but the believers, you who are sitting in those pews today, you delight in him, and then God gives you his certainty. He will come, says the Lord. And 400 years after Malachi, he did come, and believe he will come again. Well, you see what Mark did there. He changed the me to you and John the Baptizer, just as he came before to prepare the way for God the Father. At the same time, he was preparing the way for God the Son. Now, that's the text. In a seminary classroom, we would take a whole hour or more to explain that one verse. That's how rich it is. But for you who are here today, you want to know, what does that have to do with me? Is that still relevant 2,400 years later? And the answer is a definite yes. You see, our God, who knew the future 400 years plus before Bethlehem, and made this prediction, which all came true, he is the God who still knows the future. And in this tumultuous world of upset, of uncertainty, of lies and falsehoods being spread every day, of fears that are sweeping the nations, well, it is our God who still knows that future, and who knows your future, and who can carry you through that future all the way to heaven's gate. May he, through this text, give you certainty of faith to believe everything that text once said and what it still says to you today, because God could say again, look, I am sending my messengers, preachers, teachers of the Christian faith to prepare the way for me, that when I return on the last day, you will be taken to heaven. In Jesus' name granted, amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.